Last week I talked about hope, and Matthew 5 verse 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." How can we be peacemakers? Last week I talked about hope being now and like a strategy, and I'm going to say the same for peace, that peace is now and indeed can be a strategy. Ben Nairnain, anyone been up Ben Nairnain? We've got a few. They are right. It's based in the Áirechar Alps, okay, on the way to Inverary, just past Tarbert, and you park the car and it's to the right of the cobbler. Is that fair enough? So that's where it is. Now, I went there with, I went there with Jordan when he was a teenager. So he was much younger. And he decides, I think it was his birthday, he decides that we would go straight up to Ben Nairnain. In other words, we didn't go round up the sort of the gradual gradient and pathway. No, we go through the forest, onto the rocks, and straight up. 40 minutes solid, powering through whatever I ever had to face in my life, let alone my son going up to the top of Ben Nairnain. Now, we got slightly near the summit, and we broke out of the forest, and we the kind of gradient eased out, and there was this kind of area where there was almost these dark, peaty pools. I felt like I was in a scene of Lord of the Rings. And I was looking at it, and I thought, great. So I pulled out my phone, ready to take a photograph, and looking at this, I thought, I've got to capture this. And simultaneously, unbeknown to me, Jordan had also looked at these pools and decided that at the same time that he picked up this enormous mossy boulder and lobs it and coincides with me trying to take a photograph of this peaceful, serene moment of recovery. Poof! The ripples went everywhere and I never got the photograph. Why do I tell you that story? Well, both of us were seeking the same thing. He was celebrating coming through, settling down, just enjoying where he was, and I was just wanting to have peace and relaxing moment. And what I will say is this, is that peace looks different to different people. Peace and peaceful, I would dare say, are almost two separate things. Okay? Peace and peaceful, almost two separate things. So I'm not taking you or pigeonholing you on kind of some type of mindfulness, peaceful, zen-like journey of meditation, of peace. Okay? That's not where I'm taking you this morning. But I'm taking a journey of peace. So Ben Nairnain was forever etched onto my journey. So peace is more than just being peaceful. But also we need to know peace before you make peace. Big step in being a peacemaker. You need to know peace. And that peace is, as we would believe, in Jesus Christ. Now, when I was training for the ministry, we had to go to Carberry Towers and do all these conferences, and we had this couple who were taking us on this kind of meditative journey of self-discovery. Okay, this is way back in the 90s. Now, I might have misunderstood the couple, but the way I listened to them disturbed me. Because on this journey of self-discovery, I wasn't enjoying the person I was discovering, and that was me. The more and more, like an onion peeling back, the more and more I did not like what I was seeing. And I suppose we all have that, don't we? Where we have these regrets, we have these disappointments, we have these grudges that can go on. We can have aspects of our nature where we make destructive choices that you know in your mind that you make, as small as they might be or as large as consequences, they're all in a destructive pathway. And so I didn't like what I was discovering. And I kind of went to my room just to kind of recalibrate and kind of get my head around it. And the only way I could explore this, and this is my own reflection, it's not a comment on the couple we were sharing, but how I had read it, was I think there was discovery for a Christian is through Jesus Christ. Finding out who you are, the true image of who you are, is actually found in Jesus. Because it's always going to be a faulty journey when we're trying to discover who we are as an individual, how God has made us. But when we are reborn, we're renewed, and are a new creation, we're discovering what God sees in us, and we're discovering how God is shaping us and wanting us to be the person He sees in us. Not what we see without God or without the eyes of God. And so it's important that we know peace in our lives to be peacemakers. Otherwise, if we go forward, like when I encourage you to do hope now, it's going to be clunky, it's going to be awkward, it's going to be forced. We're not going to have that aspect of how God is reshaping us. And so this morning, I'm asking each of you to explore that element, that aspect in our lives of Jesus fully dwelling within you as a person. The Prince of Peace dwelling in your lives. I was speaking to someone yesterday who is doing an amazing job. I was at a fair and I was selling sort of art and things like that. And I was chatting to this person who was on another stall, and she had taken the step of inviting a Ukrainian to live in their home. And it's almost like the person comes into their homes, gets more familiar, begins to understand how the home works, and begins to relax and be in the presence of that home. And that's what Jesus needs to be for us. We need Jesus in the home of who we are. So that Jesus begins to be familiar with the home that we are, relaxed in what we are and who we are. And in that, discover peace and calm, like what our homes should offer. But peacemakers are guides, okay? Peacemakers are guides. Sometimes we really need to be intentional about being a peacemaker. And we need to have that at our fingertips. I'm going to offer you something that you'll have through the week where you might forget anything else about what I've said, but you're in a difficult situation, and you need to have peace in your life or be intentional about being a peacemaker. Okay, so it's simple as peace at your fingertips. Remember this, okay? Are you journeying with me? Very serious at this particular point, and we are in a church, and we're going to be preaching on joy next week, so you're going to have to kind of work on that one, okay? So let's go with this. Are you with me? Yes. Wonderful. Good. So A, I've done letters, you know, A, B, C, D, is kind of straightforward. I've got so many teachers in my family that it's ridiculous. I have to kind of do something correct with teaching. So A is to be attentive. Attentive in the way we listen, giving someone full attention, where you're taking in what they are saying. You're not ready with a response, you're being attentive, okay? See some couples looking at each other, thinking, I know what he's talking about, ready to reply before I've actually listened. So be attentive, pause. Body language, what's going on with your gut, okay? Listen not just to what's being said to you, but listen to how your body is reacting. You could be tense. Are you aware of that? You could be frowning. Just checking. Okay? You could be frowning. You could be pink, kind of tightened in your face. All of that can be something you need to listen to, and you need to ask yourself, what's going on here? One person said to me in my life, Alistair, you can't always think yourself out of a situation. Sometimes your body has to speak to you as well. Calm mind. Having a calm mind gives you a clear thought process. Can you get all riled up and all on the go? And it just muddles all your thinking and it doesn't connect with the words and all of a sudden things are said that shouldn't be said and you can't take it back. So calm mind prevents that happening. It's really important in all of that. De-escalate. Is the thing you're about to say going to raise the temperature in the room, or are you going to decrease it? Okay. Now that's good for extroverts, but if you're an introvert and you like being passive aggressive, you have to think of a different way of to de-escalate. Maybe you have to externalize to help the other person cope with it as well. So think of different ways to de-escalate a situation. And then end well. That might not be a resolution between two people, but you keep the bridge open. One person used to say to me, whenever you're trying to deal with a person who you perceive as an enemy or as an opponent, always, never burn bridges. Allow someone to walk past and over the bridge once more. That's really important in that way of ending well. Allow the conversation to continue at another time. Allow it to be a process. A is? B is what? C is what? D? Getting bored by now.
De-escalate, okay.
What about the last one? Indeed. I do that deliberately because you're going to need it. There will be a moment this week that you are going to be a peacemaker. There will be, no doubt about it. Whether as a parent, or as your partner, or in your work, have these and go through them with your fingertips behind your back and just think, okay, I remember those things. That's being a peacemaker intentionally. It says there, it's quite small for me to read, but it says here, if an elephant has its foot on the tail of a mouse and you say that you are neutral, the mouse will not appreciate your neutrality. Do you know who said that? Desmond Tutu. Yes, it says it up there. So, good, you're reading it. Thank you. I know you're with me. But the thing is, this is what I want you to remember. I want you to, in terms of being a peacemaker, to create tutu trouble. Okay? You need to create some tutu trouble. Okay? Desmond Tutu, he was involved with peace and reconciliation. He dealt with that in terms of the commission against and dealing with apartheid. He told P.W. Botha that he was a liar and suggested that he was a Nazi sympathizer. He told Ronald Reagan that his policies were racist. He expressed disappointment in Tony Blair for the immoral invasion of Iraq. That he was disappointed in the new Pope because of his rigid conservatism. And he even spoke to Mandela to say that he was showing a bad example to the nation by not making an honest woman of his wife to be Gracia Machel. He is a peacemaker, regardless of what your opinions are that he holds. He's intentional and challenges entitlement. And that's what a peacemaker does. Sometimes a peacemaker is not a peaceful life. And that's what a peacemaker is like. They bring and draw attention to the need of addressing certain truths, certain justice, and challenging it. Why? Not just be a troublemaker, but to pursue harmony, equality, dignity to others. And that's what he does here. And that's what we are called to be as guides on being a peacemaker. Are you ready for that uneasy part of being a peacemaker? But it's hard to do if you don't know peace. So step one comes first. Peacemaker as a guy comes second. So be self-aware of that. But then it says here, in the tender compassion of our God, the dawn from on high shall break upon us to shine on those who dwell in darkness and the shadow of death and to guide our feet into the way of peace. Jesus himself, by his very presence and intentional move to be living among us, has given us a pathway of being a peacemaker. People are in darkness when there's injustice. People are in darkness when there's inequality. People are in darkness when there's people not dealt with in respectful ways. And so we need to guide our feet need to be guided into the way of peace. But peacemakers are influencers. So in one sense, you've got how Jesus' ministry talked about light and salt in the way that we do what we do by sharing who Jesus is. If peacemakers as a guide is like the light, it's confrontational, casts out the darkness. Peacemakers as influencers is almost like the salt that influences the environment that we live in. It's not obvious. And it's subtle. And it could be done in so many different ways. So for instance, this time last year, I was in Cyprus with my work, and I was training police and social workers and environmental officers about human trafficking, modern slavery. And I was in Nicosia, which is the capital of Cyprus, and I was working with the head of their unit, and she took me round to show me her unit, where they bring families in who have been victims of human trafficking. And she showed me the facilities of where they are able to get information. Now, one of these rooms, as I walk in, you would never know it as an interview room for the police. It was like a play area. It was for the children. Children who had been exploited. Children who had been involved in human trafficking. Children who had been in slavery. But they brought them into these rooms in play areas that made them feel safe, and they enabled them to have a sense that they could share and trust when trust had been shattered by adults who had sexually exploited them or done whatever else they did to them. And so they're creating an environment that's trauma-informed, that enables them to support that situation. That's a principle that doesn't get just applied into that professional context. That's a biblical principle of being a peacemaker, of how you create an environment that people feel they can relax, be themselves, and feel safe and secure and start trusting. You can apply it to the Sunday morning. How will the welcome committee be at the front? What will our chat be like at the end? How will we ensure that all of us feel welcome and safe and secure, uplifted, respected, dignified? How will we do that? Or maybe for our families in Christmas, with all the efforts that we'll put in place, what kind of environment will be created that makes our offspring, our loved ones, their friends, to feel relaxed and okay in our company, and enabling us to have a sense that they are at home and they are welcome? That's being a peacemaker in your own home. What's it like in your work area where there might be some awkward professional conflict, which is sometimes necessary, but how do we ensure that we can create a sense of being a peacemaker where we influence, and it's not just about confrontation and sticking up for justice, but is a place where, yeah, my class in my school is going to feel good here. Or my work colleagues, when they knock on my door, know that I will listen to them. Or just even your own home and the relationship you have with the person who shares your life and is spending most time with. How are you with each other as peacemakers? These are all things to explore and pervade into the whole of our lives.